What's up, sports fans? Happy draft day. Welcome to another episode of Sports Breakers, presented to you by the Cinnamon Movie Podcast. This is episode 8, and we are talking the NFL draft. I'm one of your hosts, Juan. I'm joined by the other selection guys. Round 1, round 2, round 3. First pick, second pick, Kevin, Craig.
We all know I'm people. The number one pick in your heart. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? So,
man, you,
people trade up to get people trade up to get me. So,
people tank to get me.
Speaking of picks,
they go a whole year of bad luck to get me.
You kind of hit it right on the nail. Last week, we talked about some of the picks for the upcoming NBA postseason. We've almost officially had one full week of playoffs, and it has been a week of playoffs. Before we get into it, though, how you guys been? Kevin, be good?
Oh, I'm doing great. Good. Living life.
Doing all right. Doing all right.
The NBA playoffs kicked off last week. Oklahoma City leads 2-0. The series is tied between the Clippers and Dallas 1-1. Minnesota leads over Phoenix 2-0. Denver leads against the Los Angeles LeBrons 2-0. Series is tied between Boston and Miami 1-1. Right now the game's live. Cleveland Orlando. Cleveland leads 2-0. Series is tied between Milwaukee and Indy 1-1. And then the Knicks, a surprise to me at least, it's kind of surprising. I know the Knicks seems pretty good this year, but they haven't been in the playoffs in such a long time. 2-0.
Well,
at least over the last 3 years,
it should be 1-1. Let's all be honest. They did that 2-minute report, and Philly got screwed. So,
but any surprises for you guys right now in the first round of the NBA playoffs?
I thought Orlando would do better than what they've been doing.
They're up 16 right now, so it could be 2-1. The playoffs don't officially start until somebody takes a game on the road. So, I mean, if Cleveland pulls out game 3 on the road, you know, you can pretty much call the series over. But game 3 is usually where you start to see series be won and lost, you know, because teams can go up 2-0 when they're on the road. They come home, they go back to 2-2, and then it's a whole new series. Series really start, like I said, when one of the teams takes a game on the road.
Game 3 or 4 is when that's when it gets interesting.
Yeah.
You show your team's character, what they're capable of in the playoffs.
Because, yeah, LA might be down 2-0 to Denver, but they were in Denver. You know, they had both games, they were at double digits. If they're able to go home and do the exact same thing Denver did, which is control home court, it's 2-2. You go back to Denver. Maybe you steal game 5, and you're going back home for a win or go home. A win or go home for Denver. So, series can turn very quickly. So,
game 3 or 4 usually what makes a difference, and then that's where you find out who your teams are that are connected with each other. Like,
so yeah, I think game 3s are. You know, that's when you really start to see where the series is going to go. Because if it's 2-0, then they win, and it's 3-0, series is done. But if it's 2-1, game 4 becomes a little more of a pressure situation.
And then, like, the first weekend of or first week of the playoffs, all the games, everybody won their first home game. You know,
yeah.
No road team won.
12-0. Was the first 12 home games, and then finally, who was it that snuck in and took a
Heat? The Heat, one from Boston.
Yep. So
without Butler, which is pretty good.
Man, you know the Celtics are
the most disappointing team in the Eastern Conference.
They lose in the playoffs, they will be.
They have so much talent, 1 through 5. I mean, Drew Holiday was just on a championship team a couple years ago.
Yep.
Jason Tatum is a top
five.
10. We'll go 10. Top 10 in the NBA. Jaylen Brown's no slouch. He can kind of pop off at any minute. I mean, he's pretty much a back contract player. And then you have Porzingis. You have a great bench with Al Horford.
Horford, that experience.
Have size. They have athleticism. They have tenacity. Sam Hauser just all of a sudden is like the J.J. Redick of the 2010s, where he just can't bench from the corner. So you would expect them to be able to do that, but Miami has had Boston's number.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
For three out of the four series over the last couple of years. So
yeah.
I was always, not always, I thought Eric Spoelstra was being carried by LeBron whenever they went on their run in Miami.
When they went, yeah.
Eric Spoelstra's a damn good coach.
Oh yeah, underrated.
Underrated for sure. He's a good coach.
He's still in Miami.
Still in Miami. He's been there.
Oh yeah, he's
18 years now.
Hey, what's the issue? Like, how come Boston got rid of Doc Rivers all those years ago, and now Doc's just like lighting it up wherever he's at right now?
Doc isn't lighting it up wherever he's at.
But where's he at right now though? They're doing really good. Where's that?
He's with Milwaukee.
Yeah, he's with the Bucks.
But their record is worse than the. When they had the coach that they fired to get Dr.
Boldenhauser or whatever his name is.
It was Mike Boldenhauser.
Boldenhauser
or whatever. Then they had one guy for like 18 games, 24 games. They fired him, and their record percentage-wise isn't better than
when it happened. The defense stepped up, but their scoring is just not there, what they should be doing.
Yeah. And, you know, Chris Middleton, he's had lingering issues for – the last year and a half, 2 years, ever since their deep playoff run, or the year their they
championship
won.
Run. Yeah,
championship run. So, it's tough. Just you don't know where the East is going to go. I don't think the Knicks are legitimately that good as a two seed. It's still yet to be seen. They're missing two of their best. I believe it's two. Julius Randle.
Yeah, Julius Randle's the main star.
So they have really good players, but I think they could go in a lull very quickly.
So you guys were just talking about how good Spoelstra is at Miami. Boston's got the number one record in basketball. Any shockers if they don't get past Miami this first round? Do you think that'd be a shocker?
Absolutely. Kind of absolutely. With Jimmy Butler going out.
Boston should win this series. It's going to be a close series because the way they play each other.
It should be over in five. If it goes past five, I think Boston's in trouble.
Yeah.
Just in this series, or say they win in seven and Boston goes on to the semifinals. You think it's just a matter of time before they get knocked out, or do they not even make it to the
conference finals? I think Miami has Boston's number. And depending on who they play second round, which would be
Cleveland or Portland, right?
Playoff bracket would be Cavs Magic. Yeah, give me the Celtics in the second round, 100%. It's the Heat that everybody thought, not everybody, but you assumed with Jimmy Butler being out, they lost Max Strus, they lost Gabe Vincent.
Nope. Is Butler out for the whole series?
I don't know the timeline.
Like 3 weeks. He's out for this series. If
it would be the series. So
yeah.
And I mean, like I said, they don't have Terry Rozier. They don't have Jimmy Butler, two of their leading scorers on the team. They lost Max Strus, they lost Gabe Vincent, who were really integral parts of their team last year when they made the run.
Yeah.
They showed out, they got contracts elsewhere. So you're sitting here thinking, like, okay, you know, they have Bam, they have Hero, but he's just coming off of an injury. Who knows how good he's going to be, which he was phenomenal last night, 24 and 14. So, you know, it's the Heat did win, but they set a franchise record with threes made. Threes. Yep. So can they keep that up? Who knows? If they can, it could be an intriguing series. It has to get past – game five. It has to be like 3-2, 2-2. Yeah. If it becomes a 3-1 thing, it's a wrap. But if it's 2-2, 3-2, series can go either way.
Yeah. And I mean, that's that live or die by the three. If they're not hitting them because of the first game, they got stomped because they couldn't hit anything. And they had open shots. It's just they got to make it.
Yeah. I mean, if we're looking at the East, if the Celtics make it past the Heat, they're making it past the Cavs Magic. I don't see any issues there in the second round.
The Bucks would be their challenge.
If the Bucks don't make it to the Eastern Conference Finals, the Celtics are in the finals.
Yeah.
The Pacers, Knicks, and Sixers, I don't see them putting up a fight against the Celtics. It's just, I think the Heat just happened to have their number, and they just happened to be in the first round.
Let's talk a little bit about the West before we go into the opening draft pick of the NFL draft. I don't have my monitor in here, so you guys are going to have to – I have my phone that'll buzz on me, but –
They are on – the Bears are, by the way.
Chicago's are on the clock. Chicago Bears. Yeah. No Bears.
No Bears.
Speaking of Bears, not only before – I mean, we're all over the place today kind of, but you see their approval of a $2 billion NFL Insight Stadium. Boy, I see that thing is gorgeous if they put it up. But it's kind of bittersweet, man, because, you know, once Soldier Field goes down – it's just a matter of time until maybe Green Bay and Lambeau might want to update that.
I don't want to see Lambeau go down. They keep redoing it, but maybe a Packers fan, I've been there. It's just,
Did you guys know, I saw this earlier today, this is the Bears' first number one overall draft pick?
Really?
Since like 1976.
Been
a long time coming.
We can kind of talk about the Bears a little bit, man. I mean, it is an NFL draft episode, but I kind of feel like the Bears have been really, really disrespected the last 10 years in the league ever since, even before that. Even when they went to the Super Bowl, you know, Rex Grossman, that pretty good Bears defense. Like, I don't know. And I think it's because they're in that division, that AFC or NFC North with the Packers, and the Packers have just owned that division.
Yeah.
That matter who the quarterback is, Rodgers, Favre, now Love. And it's just like the Bears just cannot catch a break. Even when they finally caught a break and they had Jay Cutler and he had some really good moments, like the Bears just still cannot catch a break.
You know what it is?
GM. That's why they got that new one now. Yeah. I mean,
they don't seem – it never seems like they have a quarterback that's been very – elite. Jay Cutler was good. He had tremendous arm strength, could put the ball pretty much anywhere on the field, but he had moments where you were like, he's not really that good. He just has really good arm talent. And so the gravitational pull that team has, they never have the aura that Aaron Rodgers had with Green Bay or Tom Brady with the Patriots or Patrick Mahomes with Kansas City. They've been good, but they've never been able to bring fans outside of their fan base to be like, I want to be a fan of that team. You don't ever see that.
How long do you guys think it'll be till you think the Bears are going to take this entire, 5-10 minutes to put the pick in? Or do you think, okay, why are you making us wait? We know you're going number one, Caleb Williams. What do you think?
I personally don't think anybody who has a number one choice has a say in how long they wait. I think Adam Silver, Roger Goodell tells them, look, build the anticipation, the entire 5 minutes, let us get out some stuff, let the show happen. Because you don't want to start the show at 7, do the draft pick, everybody misses it. Everybody wants
within to see 45 seconds, here's the number one pick.
Right.
Boom.
It's the biggest part of your show. Why hurry it up and get it out of the way?
Yeah.
Use that 5 minutes. I say each team in the first 8 to 12 picks should use the entirety of their clock.
To build the anticipation. I'm sure the first round will go all the way up until 9 o'clock.
Yeah.
9:30.
Oh, so
you guys kind of miss how the draft used to be. Like, you know, it would start on like wouldn't it start on like a Saturday morning and it would go all Saturday, all Sunday.
All Sunday.
Now it's like You know, it's the first night is literally prime time on a Thursday night, first round. And then I think the second and third round is Friday night, and then they finish it off on Saturday.
I like it that way. It kind of goes into the weekend.
That's true. I miss it being like on a Saturday morning, the first round, waking up, you know, and seeing who gets picked and stuff. But
I honestly don't remember that ever being the schedule.
Oh, shit.
I don't remember. I mean, you're not that much older than me.
What about Reggie Bush getting his Heisman back?
Love it. I love it.
Yeah, me too.
He deserved it. I guess
cheaters do win, right?
Hey, he was a hell of a college football player. All these players are getting it now. Even then they were getting it.
Well,
he just got caught. Yeah. That's the thing.
This is going to start a big conversation and possibly a landslide, though. Do we go back and give the wins back to USC? If you give the wins back to USC, do you go back and give the wins to the Jim Trussell teams who lost all of their wins for the tattoos that they were or the jerseys they were selling and all that?
Yep.
I think so.
If you do that, do you go all the way back to
the national champion? You change all the national championships too at that time considerably.
Yeah. Does that mean Oklahoma State doesn't get that national championship from like 1945?
They never had it. All right, they never had it. They claimed it, they bought it, but they never got it.
But that's a good question. I do think that USC gets all those wins back. They get the national championship back. I think you have to, or else you're hypocriting what you just got done doing with Reggie Bush.
Yes and no. Individual award, we can all sit there and say yes, he was the best player on the field.
He was.
National championship?
That's a team.
No, because you had a advantage because you were paying a player to be on the field. Yes, Reggie Bush was the greatest player on the field. It didn't matter what happened. Everybody, that was an individual thing. But as a team, the team had an advantage over other people. So that's a twofold. Do they get the wins back? Because technically they were still cheating at the time.
Reggie Bush was one of the greatest players on the field that season, but most valuable player to their team, we all know it should have went to Vince Young.
All right, whatever.
Without Vince Young, that Texas
same
team,
that same Vince Young that lost like 65-13 to Oklahoma, that's crazy. The same Vince Young.
He started the week after that.
That dude played like three snaps. Just because he didn't play three snaps, he played the entirety of the game. I don't want to hear he didn't.
He was like Aaron Rodgers for the Jets. Four plays, I'm out.
It's 7:08. The Bears still don't have their number one overall pick in.
Do they even draft Caleb?
They trade it. They just have a massive trade that goes on.
So I saw this earlier.
You're going to bring up the 49ers, ain't you?
Do the Chargers – I heard the Chargers are thinking about trading Justin Herbert to the Vikings. If they do that, do the Chargers draft J.J. McCarthy?
They would because of who the coach is, I guess.
Yeah, but if he does that, remember the Titans where Denzel Washington gets shit thrown in his front yard and stuff like that? That's what's going to happen to Harbaugh if he trades away Justin Herbert.
You might as well rebuild anyway.
Yeah. And you don't want to give the Vikings Herbert with Justin Jefferson and the team they possibly have. Because that could be very damn dangerous.
If you do that, the NFC North immediately changes
to
the Vikings being in the top.
Yeah.
Come on now. At the end of the day, though, it's still the Vikings. The Vikings had Favre, Peterson, Percy Harvin, and they still struggled.
They had old Favre, okay?
At that time,
was announcing the number one overall pick.
No,
what's he doing?
I don't know if he's the number one overall, but I think they're just announcing it because it's in Detroit.
Oh,
yeah, Eminem. Oh, yeah, you know, he did his little commercial.
He's just now announcing that the Bears are on the clock. So let's talk about the first round. You got the first round of Chicago Bears, who have from Carolina. It's not the Bears didn't have one of the, you know, they had one of the worst records in the league, but they got the number one overall pick from Carolina. Washington picks 2, New England picks 3, Arizona's 4, and the Chargers are 5. Do we see any major trades in those first 5 picks?
I'm curious. What was the player that they traded that pick for? Was that for that wide receiver? Is that how they got that number one pick from Carolina?
Yeah, Elijah Moore or Moore. I know it's his last name.
If that's how they got that pick and they get Caleb Williams and Caleb Williams becomes a bona fide star and Bryce Young doesn't necessarily pan out, do you think? I mean, Carolina's already in shambles. They're terrible.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But I mean, that you want to talk about what ifs in the history of the NFL? If Caleb Williams turns out to be an all-pro, because Carolina, if they have the number one pick today without making that trade, they're taking Caleb Williams right now. It's not, it's not a Greg Oden, Kevin Durant situation where it's like, oh, well, they might have taken Kevin Durant first. You know, they would have. So it's interesting to see.
But Carolina didn't know that they were going to have the worst, you know, the worst.
Right, but I'm just saying, like, it's the what if of if they did, and, you know, because they thought Bryce Young was going to be it. And, you know, he had moments, but
he needs a line. He needs to gain some muscle or he'll get hurt. I mean, I liked the kid. He was good, but when it comes down to it, these are grown-ass men, you know. They got to build a team around him, so they got to go. I mean, Bryce Young kind of got to, you're the number one pick, but now this is your bust year, even though, you know, it's your sophomore.
I think even if Bryce Young has a bad season, he still gets another year just because of how there's no expectation for Carolina this year.
Yeah, no.
They're going to be in a 4-year tank essentially.
Yeah.
Last year, this year, possibly next year. So.
But if he don't start doing good, he's going to get the Jared Goff treatment. Should start sending you everywhere.
I wouldn't even say that. Jared Goff was at least an asset to somebody.
Sam Darnold. Sam Darnold.
Zach Wilson. Yeah.
So last week we debuted a new segment where we kind of broke down an NFL division. Last week we talked about the AFC West. Today we're going to be talking about the AFC North, and we'll kick off with the Cincinnati Bengals, who have the 6th easiest schedule in the league. Last year they went 9-8, missing the playoffs, losing Joe Burrow. This year their projected win total is 10 wins, and that's by the USA Today. It's interesting seeing them with 10 wins.
They lost Joe Mixon again. They lost Joe Mixon. Hendrickson and T. Higgins both requested trades.
Both won out, yeah.
I mean, Hendricks wasn't a household name, but he was very productive. So, I mean, if you lose both of them, T. Higgins was kind of off and on with injuries and production, but
drops.
You lose him, all you have left is Ja'Marr Chase at that point at the right
and
receiver
Burrow,
position.
Yeah, and then Hendricks, they lose him. That there goes some of their defense, you know.
Yeah, yeah. It's essentially one half. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because he controlled that side of the field when he was on the field. So
he's a baller when it comes down to it.
You lose him, and it's
It's almost like Crosby. Hendricks is like Crosby for the Raiders type of guy.
Crosby's a dude. They're close. I would take Crosby over Hendrickson if I was a GM, but Hendrickson is still that dude.
Yeah, well, what I mean to the defensive team.
Right. Okay.
His effort, his energy, everything, what he brings to the field.
But, I mean, you lose him. Joseph Osai and Sam Hubbard are going to be your starting DNs. I don't know, man. I don't know.
10 wins is still a push to me. I mean,
I think that's a big hit on the defense if they lose him.
Yeah.
Yeah. I look at them still again this year, barely missing the playoffs. Not missing the playoffs. I'm sorry. I see them barely making the playoffs. I do see them. I don't see them going 9-8. I see them going 10-7 and getting that final wild card spot only if Joe Burrow stays healthy. Burrow stays healthy. I still say he's the best quarterback in that division. And I think they sneak into the playoffs maybe with the final spot.
I don't think he's the best quarterback in the division. But
man, I don't know.
Well, let's kind of slowly get ready to talk about the other team, and that is the team that won the AFC North last year. And that being the Baltimore Ravens.
Now they have the best quarterback in the division.
Yeah, I mean you have Lamar, you got a good decent backup and Malik Cunningham. You add Derrick Henry, you lose J.K. Dobbins, so you lose a scat back.
You lose Gus Edwards, but that's where Henry can pick that up.
Yeah. You still have Justice Hill.
The only reason I'm not, you know, Lamar Jackson's great. Don't get me wrong. Last year they went 13-4. They won the division. The only reason I'm saying I still kind of think Joe Burrow would be the best quarterback this year going in the division is because the Ravens have the 29th easiest schedule, which means they got a pretty tough schedule. Their non-divisional opponents are the Raiders, the Eagles, the Bills, the Commanders, the Broncos, the Texans, the Bucks, the Chargers, the Chiefs, the Cowboys, and the Giants.
Yeah, that's pretty brutal.
So they got a very, very tough non-conference schedule. And then you still have to look if they got to play the Steelers twice, Bengals with
Russell
twice,
Wilson, who could be really
and the Browns twice.
Yeah.
And the Browns were good last year. They had one of the best defenses in the league.
Yeah.
And they had no quarterback.
Yeah.
So that's the only reason I'm kind of going with Joe Burrow and the Bengals to barely sneak in the playoffs. I still think the Ravens are gonna have more wins than the Bengals. But if the Ravens go into the playoffs again this next year, I think they're going to be limping into the playoffs.
They need a healthy Mark Andrews. That's what they needed before the playoffs, and then he comes into the playoffs and kind of hurt him.
Yes,
he was still not game conditioned.
Yes and no. Isaiah Likely came on big time at the end of the season last year. You give him another offseason, they add Charlie Kohler, improvement of Charlie Kohler. I think they have one of the best three deep tight end rooms
in the NFL. Yeah.
I mean, obviously, you look at George Kittle and Travis Kelce, and those are probably your top tight ends. But if Mark Andrews is healthy, that's the best
tight end in the country.
Yeah.
And Mark Andrews is that red zone threat for Lamar.
Yeah.
And you add Henry now, you know, that changes.
Believe it or not, a lot of stuff.
Bringing Henry in is different.
Yeah.
It's,
you want to talk about opening up the field where Lamar doesn't have maybe the best arm in the NFL. He has a good arm.
No, he has a good arm.
You want to talk about precision and being able to fit in windows. Those windows are going to open up with Henry in the backfield if he's productive.
So I believe the coach knows. I mean, them going after Henry, it's going to change another Harbaugh plan, you know.
I don't think they lost anybody necessarily big time on the offensive line. Am I mistaken?
No, I don't think they did.
I think the offensive line is going to be fairly the same. You lose The dude from South Carolina. I can't remember his name.
It's right there on the tip of my tongue. It'll pop in.
He had the big hit against. Yes. So we lose him on the defensive line. I think that's really kind of the only hit you take on the defense. So you add Derrick Henry, you lose him. I think even though they have a very difficult schedule.
You see them. What do you got their record going? We'll go with you first.
Just because games can go one way or the other from one week to the next. I'm going to go 11-5 to be safe. I still think they win the division. Just because, you know,
the Bengals have the easiest schedule in the division. I see Caleb Williams walking down this. He just gets selected.
Yeah, he just got selected.
Yeah.
But you only have to win your division to be in the playoffs. You know what I mean? So if the Bengals don't fix that wide receiver room, if they're not able to establish a very good run game without, you know, with missing Joe Mixon, who knows what you're going to get out of Russell and the Steelers.
Well, we're about to get into them.
Burrow's got to stay healthy. Henry's got to just at least have another 1,000-yard season. That would change the element for the Ravens, you know, because they had to do two different backs last year.
And these are very, very early predictions.
I say they go 12-5.
This weekend can completely change everything for anybody. So,
and we still don't know if there's any big trades that are going to happen.
Yeah.
There's going to be something. There always is. You know, that's
the NFL. So you got the Ravens winning 12. You have the Bengals winning 10 or no?
Eight.
So I'm going to flip it. I got the Bengals winning 11. I'm going to have the Ravens winning 11 as well. Kevin, what about you? Who do you got? The,
how many 12-5 on the Ravens.
On the Ravens.
Yeah, Bengals, I want to say 10-7, but Burrow's health is what worries me.
Do we consider Caleb Williams a Oklahoma quarterback?
No, he's a USC guy.
He started Oklahoma. It's essentially the same system.
He ran with it. He ran with his coach.
So
that's like saying, well, you guys consider Jalen.
Hey, you're a Cowboys fan. What about Aikman? He played for OU and then transferred, right?
I actually just met Troy Aikman a month or so ago. We started selling his beer.
If you considered Hurts being an OU quarterback, even though he started Alabama.
He's Alabama. He's that Nick Saban breed.
No, we're going to call him OU because he wouldn't have went as high at Alabama as he did at Oklahoma.
He might have won a national championship if he stayed out of that.
He had better passing yards than at OU.
He would have won a national championship here if we didn't have Alex Grinch.
That's a whole other podcast.
Speaking of Alex Grinch, no, I'm just kidding.
So the Steelers is who we're going to be talking about next. So if you guys are watching this on Amos Wall Productions YouTube channel or Facebook Live, we're talking about the AFC North and the NFL draft at the same time. The Chicago Bears just picked Caleb Williams, the number one overall pick, the USC. We kind of suggested that. Now let's talk about the Pittsburgh Steelers. They have the toughest schedule in the league. Non-divisional opponents are Cowboys, Chiefs, Chargers, Jets, Giants, Broncos, Raiders, Eagles, Colts, Falcons, Commanders. Very tough schedule. And you just, some might say you upgraded quarterback depending on what you had last year. You had Mason Rudolph and the guy who works in the electronics aisle at Walmart. So this year you get Justin Fields and Russell Wilson. It's going to be an interesting quarterback battle in training camp, 2 days. I have a feeling one of these quarterbacks is going to be a free agent by the time the season kicks off. I don't see Pittsburgh keeping both of them.
I see them keeping both of them. because that's a hell of a quarterback room.
They have a quarterback room like that for pennies on the dollar.
Yeah.
They're going to keep both of them. Now, if Justin Fields isn't who they thought he was during week six practice-wise or reverse Russell Wilson, I could see them trying to offload one of them and picking up a free agent quarterback.
Like right before the trade deadline, somebody's going to want a quarterback.
What if they use one of these quarterbacks to trade in the draft and they can just select a quarterback in the draft?
Well, yeah, I mean, then that would just go with my point, you know, that
why'd you trade for Justin Fields then if you're going to get rid of him for somebody in a draft?
Yeah.
Because they traded a draft pick for Fields.
I would say that's a
who starts week one?
That's a midweek. Russell, just because
it's Russell, that's veteran experience. He screws up by week three or four, he will be out.
That is a tough that's a tough schedule.
Yes.
Yeah. Non-divisional, so you still have to play your divisional teams twice. And then Broncos, Raiders, Eagles, Commanders, Colts, Falcons, Cowboys, Chiefs, Jets, Giants, Jets.
And I think this is a year. Go ahead.
If Aaron Rodgers is healthy and he's able to be even remotely close to what he was last
2 years ago,
the last time he played like a full game, I mean, that Jets defense is good. They could be really dangerous. And, you know, if you have to play them and they're rolling towards the end of the year, count it up as an L, in my opinion.
I know it's Mike Tomlin and he's never had a losing season in Pittsburgh, but I think this is the first year they have a losing record under Mike.
Oh, yeah. I actually was thinking of that. That's what I was getting ready to say before Craig spoke up. But, yeah, this could be the end of the Tomlin era if they don't have a good year.
If they're able to have a winning season with Mason Rudolph, give me a winning season with Russell Wilson.
Yeah.
Even though he was terrible in Denver, there's something about Denver that just Peyton Manning put a curse on that place when he left. All right. They even had a good quarterback.
There was a curse on that place before he got there. They went through quarterback.
Peyton Manning is the all powerful.
Oh, so
he Omaha'd that curse out of there. All right.
Tim Tebow was praying to God for him to be a great quarterback in Denver. And God was like, well, here's Peyton Manning.
Russell Wilson had that stretch last year. If he could play in that stretch that he did last year, where he had a good 6-7 games and was in the top of the league, you know, his QBR, yards, touchdown, interception ratio.
Yeah.
With that, with the Steelers team, if he could do it, oh, yeah. The Steelers could make the playoffs, but.
Who did Washington pick just now?
Jaden Daniels, LSU.
Kind of figured that one was happening.
Yeah, I mean, dude lit it up in the SEC, you know.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Say what you want. Good defense, bad defense. Some teams, you know, very – I wouldn't say very top-heavy last year, but they're still pretty top-heavy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I still think whether it's a curse, I don't believe in curses, but I just – I don't think he's the choice for Washington. I don't think they're going to do very good with
– Oh, Jaden?
Yeah.
I think every quarterback in this draft is going to be a question mark. I don't think any of them you can go in and say he's going to be a bona fide star. Caleb Williams, you can say it. He might be, but there's still question marks with him.
I don't think that right now these teams that are picking these quarterbacks, they don't need a star. They just need somebody to drive the ship with two hands because lately it has just been –
A boat in the water.
It's been a boat in the water. But I really do think there's – I don't know. I just don't see Jaden Daniels as the guy. I think he'll have some flashes and maybe win them 6 or 7 games, maybe make it on ESPN's top 10 list. But I just don't see him being the guy to carry them into a playoff run. Same thing with what's his name in Indianapolis? Richardson. From last year.
He looked good, though. He had a good stretch last year. Anthony Richardson, he had a good stretch, man. We'll see how that goes. I think they finally have a coach that is stable there. Am I remembering this correctly?
Yeah, the Eagles offense, old Eagles offensive coordinator.
Oh, is they have a new head coach this year?
Indianapolis?
Yeah.
He was the new head coach last year.
Okay, so they're maintaining a coach, at least, is what. So, yeah, we'll see how that goes.
Back to the Steelers, though. I think I'm going to pick the Steelers having 7-9 as their record this year.
How hard was their schedule?
They have the hardest schedule in the league.
Yeah, give me 7-9.
Kevin?
9-8.
9-8. He's still holding out some
Some hope. If one of them quarterbacks can actually perform. And Tomlin, he just finds a way, man. That's where my hope is.
The Browns last year, they finished 11-6. This year, they have the third to hardest schedule in the league. Their non-divisional opponents are the Cowboys, the Chiefs, the Chargers, the Giants, the Dolphins, the Broncos, the Raiders, the Eagles, the Commanders, the Jaguars, and the Saints. And their projected win totals are 8.
Yeah, give me the Browns at 8-8. I don't think
it'd be 8-9.
8-9. I keep forgetting they added that 17th game.
8-8 with a tie.
Yeah. Hey, you know what?
It happens with the Browns. It happens with the Browns quite often.
The Browns are the most tie-worthy team in the NFL. All right. Yep. They're so good, but they don't live up to the hype every week. So
and this is a division that had three teams make the playoffs, and the Bengals barely missed the playoffs.
Yeah.
So almost all four teams last year made the playoffs.
Yeah, give me the Browns at 8-9. I think the inconsistency continues. I think they have really good flashes where you think, man, this can be an AFC championship contending team. And I think they dip. I think they start off week 1 through 3 and look really good. I think they have a dip, have a couple weeks, have another dip, and it's just very inconsistent. That's how I see their season.
And Chubb's health will make a difference in the backfield. I mean, based on how he comes back.
Yeah.
Watson can't stay healthy. I mean, that guy's cursed.
He can't get massages anymore.
That's why I was worried about the Dallas game, that he might miss that one.
They got a tough schedule. I think the only two teams out of the playoffs this year for the division is going to be the Ravens and Bengals. I think Cleveland barely misses the playoffs, and I think Pittsburgh misses the playoffs by 3 or 4 games.
I'm going 8-9 on the Browns too. I mean,
I'll go 7-10.
See, because their defense ain't going to be as good as what it was last year. You got who you have, but not schedule.
I think the AFC East gets 3 teams in the playoffs. I think the Jets, the Dolphins, and the Bills.
I don't think the Bills are making the playoffs.
AFC North, the Ravens. AFC South, Texans. AFC West, Kansas City. How many teams are in a playoff? Is it 7?
7.
So 3, 4, 5, 6. You're looking at one more. Pick Bengals.
Who just picked?
Drake May, North Carolina to the Patriots. Because Mac Jones.
Well, I have some Patriots fans that are really upset they didn't want a quarterback.
Yeah.
I mean,
that's an interesting pick.
Who was the quarterback from North Carolina that was at the Bears?
Trubisky. What was his name?
Trubisky, yeah. I mean,
but he got picked from Buffalo. He's in Buffalo again now.
I know, but I'm just saying, like,
North Carolina to Bears took him. Yeah.
You're able to light it up in the ACC, put off those skewed numbers. You know, you're able to.
But you're we'll not see. NFL caliber. Yeah, you know.
We'll see. I don't like the pick. I don't like the pick. You can go out and get Cam Newton.
Yeah.
I'm just joking.
But Patriots fans don't like it just because they're like, we found the goat in the seventh round. That's what we can keep doing.
Yeah.
This is the end of the Belichick Brady era. Now it's time for something different all the way around.
Yeah. No more Mac Jones. No more macaroni.
Kraft will probably be selling the team.
I think Drake May is the most prototypical quarterback, pocket style.
He's got an arm.
He doesn't have much flash. I think he's going to be that prototypical type quarterback in this draft. So, I don't like it, but I think he could have a decent career.
Jim Kelly.
I don't think his upside is as high as the others, but I don't think.
The Patriots this year have these. I mean, well, we can talk about it, but the Patriots this year, they have the second hardest schedule in the league, with the non-divisional opponents being Texans, Colts, Rams, Seahawks, Chargers, Cardinals, Jags, 49ers, Titans, Bengals, Bears.
That's a scary non-conference schedule right there.
They played the Bears last week of the season?
No. None of these games have been placed yet.
Gotcha.
We just know the opponents. But I mean, it's Gerard Mayo, first head coach, past Bill Belichick, comes back to the team he played for. This has kind of been a trend lately in the NFL. And I think obviously it's a copycat league. Ex-players becoming coaches or coming back to their alma mater, if you will. But I think that, it's –
He's been on the staff for a while. I mean, he was handpicked. Everybody knew he was going to be the next coach when Belichick kind of stepped down and they let him go type of deal. So Marvin, he was pretty much hand selected going into the situation.
You guys think Marvin Harrison Jr. is going to the Cardinals?
They did lose Hollywood Brown, so they do need a wide receiver.
He's right there. And you still have how much trust do you have in Kyler Murray?
Yeah.
He could help Kyler Murray.
Trade Kyler Murray and get Michael Penix or JJ. Start new.
Hey, he might go to the Cardinals, and that would be shocking. One of those quarterbacks, all of a sudden, oh, here they are, Kyle Murray.
Yeah.
Pick is in.
I
like Kyler Murray, but he's too much of a prima donna type of deal.
I don't. He just has issue with double XP weekends with Call of Duty. That's just downfall, man. He's statistically proven that he has trouble when double XP comes out.
Chargers are now on the clock.
Yeah, Chargers. So if Arizona goes Marvin Harrison and we see a trade come in for the Chargers, if a trade happens, we all know where it's going. That means Justin Herbert's leaving. They're getting J.J. McCarthy because John Harbaugh has a man crush on him.
It's not happening. It's not happening. If it happens,
I would say L.A. riots, but – LA doesn't really care. They have so much to do out there. That's
what I see him taking Malik Neighbors.
LA the Cardinals or the Chargers?
Chargers. They lost Keenan Allen. They lost Mike Williams. They need a receiver. They need a receiver.
Arizona just Marvin Harrison Jr.
I see Neighbors possibly going to the Chargers because they need a wideout. And he's the best one. I think he's better than Harrison Jr.
I was just going to say that.
All around.
I think Marvin Harrison Jr. has a better skill set. I think Malik Neighbors just has that it factor.
Factor, yeah.
So do you want a guy who's going to be kind of there and good, or do you want somebody who's going to be able to pop off at any moment? I think Malik Neighbors is going to be, like you said, I think he's the better pick of the two.
Marvin Harrison Jr., okay, going to Arizona. That's your new Larry Fitzgerald.
Easy. Larry Fitzgerald is one of one.
A legend. I know. But I mean, that's how that guy's career compared to impact, you know.
I think it's a good replacement. It's a good replacement for Hollywood.
You get a
big body out there. Somebody who's good hands, good feet.
I mean, let's not forget who his dad was too.
Yeah.
Heard his dad. He goes, they asked his dad, what was the one thing you wish you had? He goes, his height. Marvin Harrison did, because his son's 4 inches taller than he is.
Yeah.
But his dad had better hands, I think, than he does.
Well, if Marvin Harrison is able to become anything remotely close to what his dad was, he'll be the best player in this draft.
Oh, yeah. Hands down.
But legends and their kids aren't necessarily panning out. You know what I mean?
No.
Bronny Jr. is entering the draft with an average of 3 points per game. So
I've read a review the other day where it was like the way his dad has done everything for the league, he deserves to be in the top five just for what his dad has done for the league.
And that's a shame.
It is.
Because the reason LeBron was so good, second reason, first reason is all the God-given abilities he's got, but the second reason is because that's all he had. He had basketball. You know, he grew up in the ghettos of Cleveland. Basketball was his getaway. He was really good at it, had a really – just everything gelled for LeBron. I think Bryce is going to be the better of the two sons.
Bryce has that game. Yeah, he has that.
I think Bronny could be a good point guard. He's not going to be anywhere near, obviously, what his dad was. But Bryce has the opportunity to be really good if he keeps going.
When does it look like Bryce will get drafted?
I think he has 2 or 3 more years.
2 years.
Two years.
He's a junior.
He was like 6'1" in like the summer of 2020, and now he's like 6'6", 6'7".
Yeah.
He's massive. Just out of nowhere.
Do you think LeBron wants to play just 4 more years so he can play in the same league with his other two sons and then he'll call it up?
I think he does it with Bronny, and I
– After that, Bronny's his favorite, it seems, you know.
He's named after him, but you want to say no – because he's in year 21.
He's
in year 21. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And he could even do, like, you know, maybe just play half the season just until the other son comes up.
If LeBron were to become, you know, this year, next year, and to become a sixth man type thing, which sounds ridiculous to say, but I don't think his body will physically be able to withstand another. He played
3 years, 4 years.
He played like 72 games this year, which is like the most he's had in a really long time. He's getting old. You can see it. He still has moments of pure greatness. But, you know, we've all seen his game decline over the last couple of years. When 2020 with LA kind of had.
It was because of the bubble. It was the bubble, though. That's the thing, you know.
But he still had that same play style as he did when he was in like 2018. You know, when you sit there and you think, like, from 2018 with Cleveland, where he was absolutely the sole reason Cleveland was even in the finals, to 2020 to 2021, that drop off, and you think of another 3 years of that drop off, I think he'll still be good, but he's not going to be able to be a max contract star player. He's going to have to become a sixth man type thing, or else you're going to end up with a similar situation that you have this year, where him and AD did play about 80% of the games and they ended up with an eighth seed.
Do you know what I mean? Lakers go down 0-3 tonight?
I
don't think so. Not at home. I think they win today
and then it's a 4-1 sweep. It's a 4-1 series.
Unless they blow a lead like they did the last game. You know, and
but
so it should be 1-1 going into LA.
should be. But, I mean, they lose tonight, they're going to get swept.
What's killing the Lakers is they're able to play 32 of the 48 minutes.
And then the final six minutes of the game, they just
you have a 5 or 6 minute stretch in the second to third quarter where they kind of collapse, and then they make the game, you know,
interesting at the end
between the 6 to 6 minute mark in the third and fourth quarter, and then it just becomes a thing of LeBron probably really doesn't have the motor in him to finish the minutes. You can't rely on Austin Rivers anymore. It seems like he's just become obsolete in this offense. So, it's like I said, they get played 32 of the 48. And then after that, it's Denver has a better bench. They're able to maintain momentum and pressure throughout the entirety of the game. And I think that's where the Lakers are falling off. They have no bench.
And Jokic. AD's good on defense, but he can't stop them. They have nobody on that team. Because they put Hachimura on Jokic, and he's still balling on him.
Jokic, and we can get into this a little bit. Jokic and Shai, SGA for the Thunder, top two in the MVP voting. I want to say Jokic is the MVP just because of what he does for his team and how. Like, SGA is really good. He's smooth. He can score. He plays defense. Yeah. Jokic is just like, you're gonna double me, I'm gonna pass. You're gonna put single coverage on me, I'm gonna put you to work in the paint.
I'm gonna
put up 30 and 15 on you night in, night out, with like three blocks, a steal or two here. Like it's a shame that only one person can win the MVP award, because I think SGA and Jokic are the exact same thing, just different styles of play for their teams.
Yeah.
You take away one of those for the teams, the motor's gone.
Oh, yeah. Jokic, if he goes down, Denver's nothing without him.
Yeah.
SGA, yeah, but then again, no, because they have a team.
We saw when SGA went down, though.
You have
a really good team, yes, but Giddey can run an offense. Giddey cannot cut an offense up and produce scoring on the outside. The production's
different. It's when SGA's out there. Yeah.
Your looks are different, your shots are different, your flow of the offense is a little bit different. You're still a really good team, but the entirety of the way the team plays is different when SGA and Jokic are out.
Yep.
And that's what makes an MVP.
That's where MVP, most valuable player on the team,
Whereas you take out
– The Chargers select Joe Alt, offensive tackle, Notre Dame.
Ew.
He said, ew.
Look at his sister. She's like, what in the world? Like, we were not expecting to be drafted here. Like, she was like, that's crazy. I would have took Malik Nabers right here.
I just bought his jersey.
That's a big dude, though.
Malik probably goes to the Atlanta Falcons now.
Oh, that'd be dangerous.
Yep. I don't see New York picking a receiver. I don't see the Titans picking a receiver. I see the
Giants picking a quarterback. A
receiver, though.
Yeah. Another one. They need
to get another one. Or the Bears have Drake London.
Or the Bears might steal him. What if the Bears steal him?
Who, Neighbors?
Yeah, Bears are picking right after the I just lost my spot. Bears are picking up soon.
So the Falcons wide receiver group is Josh Alley, Chris Blair, Kadarryl Hodge, Drake London, Austin Mack, Ray McLeod, Darnell Mooney, Rondale Moore.
I would
say they could use another.
They could use neighbors. That would, because Kirk Cousins being there. So, I mean, but I think McCarthy's, he's going to go to the Giants.
That's a good pick, though, for the Chargers. I know offensive line, a lot of people don't like looking at offensive line in the first few picks, but Harbaugh knows what he's doing. He needs, he knows he needs some meat up front to protect Herbert, Herbert, if I'm going to call him.
Yeah, you know, and I said and like you said, it's not a fancy pick, but Harbaugh built Michigan through the
trenches. Offensive line. Yeah.
He had a really good offensive line. You're able to play through the offensive line. You set up the run game. You establish the run game. And so, like you said, Harbaugh knows what he's doing. He's I'm not going to say he's going to try to mimic what he did at Michigan, but he knows his needs. And I think in the long run, this will probably be a really good pick for him, even though it's not flashy.
This guy could possibly be a Hall of Famer type of player, offensive lineman.
Two sacks healthy. Allowed, 0.8% blown block percentage.
When you're playing the Chiefs twice a year,
you need
you got
your quarterback. You
Yeah, Chris Jones.
Yeah, Jones. Yeah, they need somebody.
I mean, he's on the interior. Who are the Texans or who are the Chiefs' edges? I mean, it's not really anybody. Am I just my mind going blank? They're not that great, are they?
No.
And Aduke Uzomba, rookie, Isaiah Bugs, fifth year, Mike Dana, Neil Farrell, Mike Herring, Truman Jones, George Karlaftis, Omenihu, Thompson. I mean, no real big names sticking out. Omenihu is probably their best name, if I'm not mistaken.
It's the defense they play, though. Chris Jones, he's out there.
Having the pressure on the edges. Yeah.
Yeah, you got the linebacker core. They got a decent linebacker core.
Yeah. Tranquil and Bolton coming off the edges now. Yeah. So,
New York's pick is in.
We'll see how this goes. They're still sucked into what's his face for another couple years. That quarterback,
Daniel Jones.
Jones.
No, after this year, no.
No,
because
I thought he had two more on this contract.
And, next year is an option.
Okay, so they might be looking at quarterback here.
McCarthy said in an interview that the Giants have really reached out to him. He's really talked to him. You know, that was before the draft.
We'll wait and see who New York picks, and then
Malik Nabers.
Is that who they picked?
That's who they picked. They're replacing Sterling Shepard.
Oh yeah.
No.
Who else are they replacing at the wide receiver position?
Number 12, I know. Guyton or something like that.
So they have Miles Boykin, Chase Kota, Bryce Ford, Wheaton, Isaiah Hodgins, Dennis Houston, Jalen Hyatt, Isaiah McKenzie, Gunnar Olszewski, and Wandale Robinson, and Darius Slayton. So your starting three will probably end up being Slayton, Hyatt, Malik Nabers. Not bad for a three-man, you know, starting.
And with Philadelphia re-signing their receiver just a few hours ago.
AJ?
The Giants are in need of, because, I mean, Dallas has CD, Eagles have their guy, Giants need somebody.
Yeah.
Tennessee is now on the clock, and they need offensive line, defensive line, receiver, and linebacker.
I think Malik Nabers is, as long as Daniel Jones is serviceable, I really do think Malik Nabers is going to be a stud in the NFL.
Oh, yeah.
I've really liked him.
So
he's that one. He led college football in broken tackles.
Yeah. And I mean, you're
you're going from Sterling Shepard in the slot to a possibly Malik Nabers. That's
not a bad trade up. Yeah, that's
I say upgrade. Sterling Shepard was very good in his own ways, yeah. But this guy, much like with what Oklahoma is adding with Deion Burks from Purdue, you're replacing Drake Stoops, who's a very good 10 to 15 yard route runner. With a guy who's going to be able to break open that defense over the middle.
That has that home run speed. Not the home run speed. Once he catches it, it's lightning in a bottle.
Yeah. So it's your I like this for them. I do like this for them. Even though I think Daniel Jones is
still going to suck ass this year.
Daniel Jones will miss him 9 times out of 10.
Or he'll pull the ball down and run.
Yeah. He'll be like, oh, he's wide open across the middle. The safety came down. We got 10 yards right here.
I got 5.
He'll run and trip on himself at the 8-yard line again.
He'll pull a Dak Prescott in the playoffs.
You know, oh, come on. Slide. You know, let me get out of here.
Hey, you got frustrated there. Did you shut everything off?
I forgot Malik Nabers won the Biletnikoff, man.
Was that best receiver of the year?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because I was thinking, I was like, man,
you thought Harrison.
Harrison
won it. Yeah.
He needs to go to the other New York team and let Aaron Rodgers throw it to him.
Yeah, wrong New York team. Shit.
Wrong New York team. I mean, technically, he'll still be playing the same stadium, but
he'll just go 5-12 instead of,
you know what? 11 and I still think they draft a quarterback later on in the draft.
Should have went to Denver. He could have played with Wilson, Zach Wilson.
I just remember the Saquon's no longer in New York.
Oh yeah,
the Giants are going to be doo doo. They're going to be so bad.
Without Saquon? Yeah.
They pretty much played all last year without Saquon. He was limp, but I don't like their squad.
Yeah.
I don't like their squad.
That division comes down to 2 again.
Eagles over the Cowboys, right?
You know, if Saquon can't stay healthy or get healthy, you know, he's not going to do much better for them either. And then especially, you know, hopefully they bring Big Zeke back.
Zeke.
Where did Tony Pollard go? Did he sign with anybody yet?
He's with Tennessee.
Zeke.
They have a Walmart grocery bagger for their quarterback.
He's not that bad.
Who is it?
The white guy from Kentucky.
Oh,
so
I don't know.
Will Levis. Levi's. Well, Levi's.
Yeah. Signed him to a 6-month contract for a bag of chips and $250.
What was the other NFL news? I just saw
another 49ers that Ayuk and Debo Samuel are up for, they're willing to negotiate so they can move up in the draft.
St. Brown and Penei Sewell both get renewed deals in Detroit.
Day of the draft, of course.
And then Eagles get re-signed Brown to $96 million extension.
You think Broncos go quarterback picking at 12 this?
They just got Zach Wilson. What are you talking about? Their run of great quarterbacks is it's on a hot streak right now.
Zach Wilson's all about that DILF, that John Elway right there.
If they do go quarterback, maybe Bo Nix because of who their coach is.
No.
Because he'll think he's got the next Breeze.
They do need a quarterback. They need a quarterback, a cornerback, a defensive line, offensive line.
He's going to surprise everyone and go Phoenix.
Yeah, pick Phoenix Jr. He can play quarterback and quarterback. He'll play them both. Yeah.
He needs an offensive lineman. Hopefully they go offensive line in the first round. Because you could catch Timmy Tebow again and selling him dinner. You go get Peyton Manning out of the retirement home, get him off the couch from ESPN2, and he still ain't going to be able to throw touchdowns without the offensive line.
You can get a what's his name? Quinn Ewers, right?
Ewers, is it too late to end the draft? He stayed at Texas.
Couldn't he leave Texas and become a free agent?
I don't know if you can do that anymore. You have to apply for it just like a job.
You have to apply. Yeah, you got to apply for the NFL to get approved.
Because you know, even though I don't think Arch Manning is going to be the greatest, he did light up that Texas secondary.
He did light it up. So, but from what I hear, I don't know. I hear a lot of defensive players don't really they look at the spring game as like the Pro Bowl. I don't think they're going 100%. So.
Melrose in the Alabama spring game, he looked pretty good.
He had to go 100%. Nick Saban's gone, and his life is on the line. If he shut that game, it's
well, not just them. The fans would have turned on. The fans don't want him anyway after that playoff or the.
They would have burnt the stadium down.
Yeah, he had to give 110%.
The curse of Nick Saban lives on.
Yeah. he would have the Jamarcus Russell playback.
QB's going 1, 2, 3. Yeah, Trevor Lawrence, Zach Wilson. Ugh.
Falcons are in. Falcons are on the clock. Pick is in for Tennessee. You know, I like the fact that Ewers is coming back for Texas, though. First year in the SEC, I think we need a little bit of that
veteran.
I don't know how accurate it is. I might double check it just to be sure, but I had saw that he unfollowed Texas on Instagram and Twitter.
I don't know. I don't read too much into that shit, especially if, you know, he did that one time because he took a photo of a deer or something that he killed, and he was getting, like, you know, comments about, you kill a fucking deer, boo-hoo, you know, and he just...
Peter came knocking on his door. He's like,
yeah, he just got off social media for a little bit, so...
Still says Texas quarterback, so maybe it was just a ploy to...
He'll be the starter this year. If worst case scenario, he might get injured, or I don't think he'll get shaken up, but he is injury prone, and the whole fact that people want to talk about Manning going somewhere else... Texas has so much money stocked and built in Arch Manning staying there, and the Manning family has so much money spent. It's just so much money involved between the two, Manning and Texas. They're not going anywhere. I think Ewers will have his last year at Texas here, and then Manning will have his 2 years at Texas and then go to the NFL.
Question. If Ewers – Michigan's not going to be very good this year. All right, let's just all.
They're going to beat Michigan.
What if Quinn just completely collapses against Michigan?
Titans went offensive tackle out of Alabama, J.C. Latham.
Latham.
Latham. I like Latham better.
Latham.
Yeah.
A little more pizzazz to it.
If Ewers shifts the bet against Michigan, and for some god awful reason Sark puts in Manning, and he loses the job to Manning, then he might do the transfer portal and go somewhere else and get another year of college football.
Ugh, sounds like the
he'll be
Casey Bonix thing
he'll be over. Bonix part 2.
Bonix 2.0.
Yeah.
Bo Nix wasn't in year 4 of his college career. He was in like year 3. Year 7.
Yeah. He was year 7.
He's Chris Winkie of Florida State.
Yeah. He was year 7 at Hogwarts. So if a scenario like that happens and they bench Ewers, then he'll enter the transfer portal and he'll go somewhere else.
At the same time, playoffs, you can afford to lose one game. And if it's the Michigan game.
If you're Texas going into the SEC, you can afford to lose 2 SEC games, a non-conference game, and still maybe make the
incorrect. You don't with that schedule?
You can afford to miss
that schedule?
Lose 3 games?
Texas schedule is atrocious.
Yeah.
It's the easiest schedule in the SEC.
They play Georgia, they play Michigan, they play Oklahoma. They play – who else do they play?
So you just gave them three losses right there.
Those are the three toughest games they have.
If you lose those, if you lose two of those three games, you're not making the playoffs, depending on who else wins
and
what games.
If you lose to Michigan and Michigan don't finish in the top 25.
Exactly.
Makes a big difference because Michigan is not going to be that dog this year.
If Texas loses to Michigan and Michigan isn't in the top 25 and they go like 5-6 or 5-7,
You're right.
Texas won't be very good at all this year.
They do have an easy schedule. They got Colorado State at Michigan, University of Texas San Antonio, Louisiana Monroe, Mississippi State, Oklahoma, Georgia at Texas, Vanderbilt, Florida
at Texas,
Arkansas, and then Kentucky.
Oh, you're saying the game is at Texas?
Yeah.
I was like, how are they playing?
And then they finish off the year. They
finish that's a spring off the game.
Yeah, they finish off the year at A&M Thanksgiving weekend.
If you lose two games, you're still in the mix. If you lose a third with that schedule, I think you're out. I think Florida, Oklahoma, trying to think of
Florida State.
No, just teams that have a gauntlet of a schedule can afford to lose three games, depending on the games and depending on when. If OU loses a couple games early on and then wins Alabama, if they go through and they win Missouri, Alabama, LSU to end the season, they win those three straight games. I think they have a chance to go in, even if they have two or three, depending on when. But
it also depends on how LSU is.
Right. Depends on the, you know, you can say that, but.
You're ranking the strength of schedule. That changes when teams start losing.
Because Oklahoma's schedule is Temple, Houston, Tulane, Tennessee, first 4 weeks, at Auburn, Texas, South Carolina, at Ole Miss, Maine, get that old good old SEC cupcake in the middle of November, at Missouri, Alabama, at LSU.
That is kind of rough.
That's a rough schedule, which Florida is even worse than that. But we don't have to worry about them. They're not going to be very good.
Tebow ain't playing for them.
And they need more than Tebow.
Say Texas has one loss and goes to the SEC championship. Could they be an SEC champion in their first year?
Georgia, let's be real here. Georgia looked very pedestrian without Brock Bowers last year.
Yep.
He's not there at all this year. So I think Georgia is still very winnable.
Let's not forget, Texas has all those Alabama players that left as soon as Nick Saban said he's gone.
On top of what they had last year, and they were still pretty good. They beat Alabama, who was pretty close to beating Georgia.
Technically, that's
going to be the two for the title almost. I mean,
technically, you got all the players that Alabama had that were coming back that were going to make them a top five team just went to Texas as soon as Saban said he was gone.
If Texas loses to Michigan and Georgia, you're still in the mix for a playoff, 100%. If you lose to Michigan and Georgia, you have one loss in the SEC, you're going to the SEC championship game.
And Georgia's in Austin. I guarantee that's going to be a night game. 100,000 people. That's going to be a fun sight to see in college football.
But you play Oklahoma the week before you play Georgia. You're going to get ramped up for that game. Who knows the outcome? I'm not saying who's going to, you know, regardless of the outcome, you're still going to get up the emotional high of that game. Do you look forward to Georgia? Do you have a lapse after Oklahoma? Say you lose to Oklahoma, do you go into Georgia like
limping in,
your head down low? If you beat Oklahoma, I think you go into Georgia and you beat the dog snot out of them, and I think you go on undefeated. If you beat Michigan, if depending on how good they are, Vanderbilt's not going to be very good. Florida, just because some of the athletes could give you something, but that's at home again. Arkansas is giving you issues at Arkansas.
Yeah, Kentucky,
at A&M. I think you beat the dog snot out of A&M, Kentucky, Vanderbilt, Mississippi State,
and the rest of your schedule. A&M could be a trap game.
Yeah, that because it's the last game of the season too.
Last game of the season. And if they don't have anything to play for,
and it's at Kyle Field,
who knows?
Yeah.
I can't wait till Texas goes in and kicks the dog living shit out of Mississippi State. I just don't like Mississippi State.
So I mentioned
go Bulldogs. I mean, sorry.
I mentioned Texas plays OU before you play Georgia. OU goes to Auburn before they play Texas. To Auburn.
Auburn's going to be a tough place to play.
Like, yeah. Texas doesn't just have a pretty easy schedule. You don't go anywhere. You don't go anywhere in the SEC.
Chicago's, Atlanta picks Michael Penix Jr.
You go to Texas A&M, but they're not an elite team. Arkansas, at Vanderbilt. Those are your three away games. Meanwhile, OU is going to LSU, to Missouri, to Ole Miss.
That was part of the deal. Texas was like, hey, give us that good schedule and let OU go through.
Well, but the flip side of that coin is
we're going to find out who's
next year. Next year is even worse because I thought initially it would be this schedule, then we would flip with Texas next year, and then it would be vice versa. But we're going to have to go to Alabama, to South Carolina, to Tennessee next year.
Before we kind of get out of here, we'll have Chicago be the last team we talk about in the draft. Atlanta picks a quarterback after the Cousins trade. Are you guys surprised?
Who was it?
Atlanta Michael picked Penix.
Oh, they picked Penix. Wow.
Yeah,
that's kind of a – actually, I'm all right with that because, you know, you got Cousins.
He's going to sit back and maybe wait for a little bit, maybe a season.
Oh, yeah.
I think if the Neighbors ACL was still – I think if Neighbors was still on the board, they'd take Neighbors.
Yep.
But I think since he was gone, they went Penix just because they know that Kirk Cousins could or could not be decent this year.
What does that mean for Ritter though?
Ritter's gone.
Yeah.
They've seen all they need to see with Ritter.
Yeah.
Who's Chicago picking? Supposedly they still need a receiver, offense, and defensive line.
Romeo Odunze?
From Washington.
Yep, that's who they just picked. Rome Kazentine from Washington.
I was just taking a guess.
Interesting. Yep,
So they got the receiver and they got their quarterback guys.
Even with the best available, you have the Dallas Turner edge from Alabama, Terrion Arnold cornerback from Alabama, Brock Bowers. Well, let's be honest, they haven't used.
They don't use Komet like they should.
You need to get a quarterback though in that league.
Not Atlanta. They have. We're talking about Georgia. Never mind. But yes, they don't use the mat like they should either. I was thinking Atlanta.
I think they should have went defense right here. But I mean, you get your quarterback, you get your receiver, so I get it. But
yeah.
Other than that, was there anything else you guys want to talk about draft wise before we get out of here? And we'll talk about the fallout next Thursday.
Who do you think is the best available on the board outside of? Obviously Dallas Turner is going to get picked next. Let's see what teams are coming up. Dallas, who do you think Dallas is going to pick? Best available. Dallas needs a wide receiver, possibly. They need a running back as well. Not seeing many running backs in the top. Their offensive line is pretty serviceable. They have a pretty good defense. Maybe go defensive tackle with Byron Murphy or edge with Jared Verse, even though I just said that. But
Byron Murphy was in Dallas over the weekend visiting Jerry World. But I still think – I think you need somebody – in that defensive line to help with Micah Parsons. I think you need also some help to stop the run.
I think one of their biggest issues is defensive interior. And you go Byron Murphy, who's 330, 350 off the bat.
He's a hoss.
Yeah.
You know, it's – you but put that in the middle and you allow
– Byron Murphy may not be there by the time Dallas picks.
You don't think so?
I don't think so.
No, because he's number seven, yeah. But, I mean –
I wouldn't mind them. I wouldn't mind them maybe going also. Man, it's just tough. I don't know.
Blake Chrome from Michigan. Oh.
Doesn't didn't the big defensive tackle for the Eagles,
Fletcher retire? Cox?
Yeah, he retired.
Yep.
So they would probably go DT before them. So yeah.
You lose Fletcher Cox, why not get Murphy?
I even like Dallas Turner out of Alabama, but I don't think.
Oh no, he won't be there.
So, I don't see Latu being there. I don't think they need to pick somebody out of a running back or receiver this early. They got to go defensive line or offensive line.
You don't think, honestly, if depending on who's available, Keon Coleman, the wide receiver from Florida State.
They don't need a receiver.
Match up Keon Coleman with CeeDee Lamb.
Yeah.
The Cowboys are lucky CeeDee Lamb put on the season he did last year because they have nobody else that is. They need another target to be able to take pressure off a CD.
Thomas Jr. out of LSU will probably be gone. I still don't see them picking a receiver first round. But
I don't know. Chicago. The first round is going to go on for, like you said, like another hour and a half, 2 hours. So
yeah,
might as well just.
Kevin, before we get out of here, who would you like to see Green Bay pick, or what do you think they need?
Well, we'll probably go a receiver or cornerback. I know we probably need, Kool-Aid from Alabama.
Yeah, it says they need D-line, linebacker, O-line, cornerback.
They need everybody.
Yeah. Like I said, probably Kool-Aid McKinney or whatever his name is from Alabama.
Chemistry.
I know he's a little banged up, but he's pretty damn good.
He'll sell jerseys. Oh,
yeah, what's that name?
Oh, Kool-Aid. What a name.
He got his own shirt. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Did I read that right? Minnesota just traded up to get in the top 10.
Who did they trade up?
They just traded up from the Jets. They just moved up one spot. But they traded up one spot over the Jets.
Makes you wonder who they're going to go after.
Yeah, if they want to trade up one spot.
They have their eye on somebody,
They must have got word that New York wants them too.
But why would New York trade out of that spot?
Probably, I don't know who Minnesota
might Maybe be. They had two people in mind and they were okay with doing it to get that extra draft capital.
They're probably about to draft a quarterback.
Quarter,
yeah. QB. This makes me want to go watch Draft Day with Kevin Costner. It's a good movie.
JJ, Bo Nix, Spencer Rattler. Man. Yeah, you need to get it when the getting's good, because after these next three quarterbacks, you're honestly. I think Michael Pratt from Tulane could be a sleeper pick. He's the fourth best quarterback available, but I think he could be really serviceable if he's picked in the second or third round, sit behind somebody. He was pretty good.
It's going to be JJ. Is that who they're showing back there?
Yep.
To the Vikings.
Yeah. So.
I must be behind.
But we'll go ahead and I think what, if you guys are available, let's say we try to maybe hop on for just maybe 30 minutes on Monday and talk the way the draft ended. And then next Thursday will be the big we'll talk NBA playoffs, and next Thursday will be the big WWE Backlash prediction show before the WWE PLE Backlash.
So here's the trade. Vikings receive 2024 10th and the 2024 6th round, and the Jets receive the 11th and a 2024 4th and 5th round pick for this year. So
Vikings want to make sure they got their guy. They're going to go ahead
and get McCarthy.
Yeah. He'll look good in purple.
Stays close to home.
Yeah. Good for him. I'd rather see him in Minnesota than go to Denver. Because I think if Minnesota didn't get him, then Denver would have.
Who's Minnesota's current quarterback?
They just traded. They let go of what's his name. So they, I don't think they just have the backup now.
Cousins was there, but I believe they had picked up somebody.
Was it Mariota? Oh, Sam Darnold.
Ooh, yeah, they need somebody.
Yeah.
See, but that's where I'm like, you have Jordan Addison, Justin Jefferson, and TJ Hockenson, and you have no quarterback ready for him. The thought processes of Minnesota and the Chargers should be opposite. It should be, I mean,
yeah, the Chargers got rid of all the receivers, have a quarterback.
They have all the receivers, but they have a quarterback.
And Minnesota gets rid of their quarterback.
All the receivers, but no quarterback.
Yeah,
like, the relationship though with Minnesota and Cousins, they were just tired of being in every game and losing those games. That's all that was.
He couldn't win in the playoffs anyway.
Yeah. I mean, Andy Dalton went up to Minnesota and knocked them out, so come on. But, yeah, I'm sure they're going McCarthy here, and then that'll leave us, J.J. McCarthy, Michigan, to the Minnesota Vikings. So.
Skull! We'll call it there.
I think that'll do it for us. We talked the first 10 rounds, first 10 picks in the first round. I'll get with you guys, but I think it'd be fun to come back Monday or Tuesday, and we'll talk the draft fallout just for a little bit, and then we'll see everybody next Thursday for NBA playoffs and WWE Backlash. So other than that, anybody else have anything else before we go? Get out of here.
I'm good.
Oh, yeah, I'm good.
All right, guys. Go check the draft. Go watch some NBA playoffs this weekend. Stanley Cup playoffs are also happening. So
speaking of playoffs, Orlando won by 38. So that series is now 2-1. Like I said, it's not a series until the away team wins at home or wins on the road. So,
wow.
Cleveland took care of home court. Orlando definitely took care of home court today. So we'll see how that goes.
We'll talk to you next week. Don't forget Sunday, 6 p.m. Join us for our top 5 movie theater experience episode moments this Sunday, 6 p.m. on a new episode of Cinema Movie Podcast. Next Thursday, Backlash, and Monday we'll talk NFL draft fallout. Next week, have a good weekend.
Later.